Now turn with me, please, into the New Testament. If you have a Bible with me, those who maybe are not familiar with the Bible is broken into two main parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we want Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, chapter 5. It's my exercise in the will of God in these meetings to bring to you some of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very words that he spoke. And we want to look predominantly at these chapters, chapter 5, 6 and 7 of Matthew's record, and we will trust we will be blessed of God by being under the sound of the very words of the Lord Jesus. We're going to read the first 12 verses of Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, this is the Lord Jesus, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. We want to understand something of the reading that we've taken together this evening. And we want to apply it in the preaching of the gospel, that you may be drawn to the person of Jesus Christ. We unashamedly say at the commencement of these meetings that we preach no other Saviour other than the person of Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son. We present to you no other answer for your need and for your sin and for your life and for your death and for your eternity. Everything is upon the person of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have one message with one person, and that person is God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know whether you've ever heard anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we trust that you'll keep coming to these meetings, that you'll keep reading the Bible, that you'll take note of the person of Jesus Christ, that you'll take note of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will understand and be blessed by coming in obedience. You see, it takes humility to come in obedience to God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, when we would have to acknowledge ourselves that we don't know it all. And we come to God in humility and bow our knees to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and confess him as Lord. It's to the glory of God the Father and to the blessing of your soul. We notice that the Lord Jesus Christ, in this little section that we've read together, he was instructing the people that were around him. We started chapter 5. If we were to go back into chapter 4 and just get some context, we would see that from many different cities, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond Jordan, these people, they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. They were hankering after his teachings. I want to tell you this afternoon, friends, I'm glad you're here. Because you're here under the sound of the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, there's no better place that you could be than at the very feet of the Son of God, hearing the very teachings of the Son of God, that you may understand and be blessed by them. There are multitudes of teachings in this world in which we live, multitudes of voices, multitudes of opinions. We come up against them every day, but we point you, friend, to the very opinion of God. We point you to the very Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, multitudes of people followed the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder what it was like just to see that great scene, that great procession as it moved down the road. Here now was a man who stood before the people. Never a man had been like this on the face of the earth. You get great and famous people on the face of the earth, but never had stood a man on the face of the earth who was the Son of God from heaven himself, who was the mighty creator of the universe in which we live. Now the mighty creator had come to earth and was treading a pathway through earth, and multitudes sought to see him. It said in the previous verses that he healed the sick, he cleansed the lepers, he gave sight to the blind, he dispossessed those who were possessed by evil spirits. He cast them out. He healed the sick before him. And his fame spread. And now there's a great multitude of people and they're following the Lord Jesus Christ. It simply says this in the chapter that we read together. Jesus, seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. I want to just learn some lessons from these first few statements of this chapter. I want you to see just the Lord Jesus for the moment. There's a great multitude following him, possibly thousands of people. And the Lord Jesus Christ turns and sees this great multitude. As he looks across this great multitude, I want to tell you, he knows every one of them. I want to tell you, as you sit in the seat, friend, though you may be able to hide it from me, and though you may be able to hide it from every person in this room, Christ knows you. He knows you to the very core of your being. He knows the very thoughts occupying your mind as you sit in the seat presently. He knows what you've been occupied and engaged in today. He knows where you were yesterday. And he knows tomorrow. He knows whether your heart will still be pumping and whether you'll still be in time or whether you'll be in the eternal realm having passed through death. Friend, Christ knows you. I want you to just get that this afternoon. The Lord Jesus Christ knows you. You see, the person that we preach to you, and you'll discover it as you come to these meetings and hear the gospel preached, the person that we preach to you, the Lord Jesus Christ, though he was nailed to a cross and crucified outside the city walls of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, I want to tell you he's alive. I want to tell you he's defeated death. The Word of God tells us that he overcame death. He destroyed him that had the power of death, which is the devil. He has been raised from the dead. He's seated, exalted, and glorified as I preach the gospel to you this afternoon. The risen Son of God. You can't find him in the tomb. You could traipse to Jerusalem. You could go on some religious pilgrimage. And you'll get there and you'll not find the Christ. Why? He's beyond the very realm of death. Death could not keep the Son of God. He entered into it for a specific purpose. And that's what we're preaching to you in the gospel. The reason why Christ, the Son of God, the Creator of the universe, entered into time, took upon him a body, and entered into the very realm of death, and out the other side victorious. It was because you have a need. And because I have a need, and that need is sin. Sin. I wonder whether you've grasped your need in this meeting. I wonder whether in life you understand your need before God. Here was a man, here was a person, the Son of God from heaven. He turned and he saw these thousands of people following. He knew every one of them. And he didn't stop there. It says he went up into a high mountain. He went up into this mountain place. He trod the pathway that was going upwards. And when he got up into the mountain, he sat down and he drew his disciples to him. There's teaching in that for the gospel, for you this afternoon in the preaching of the gospel. I want to tell you, dear friends, you'll follow Christ. None other. If you're going to get God's salvation, if you're going to receive eternal life, if you're going to enter into heaven's glories, you're going to have to come to Christ. And that's who we preach to you. That's who we point you to. And here he is now up in a high mountain, in an elevated place. He's occupying a place, friends, where men come to him. I want to tell you, as I preach to you this afternoon, again, it thrills my very being to tell you, Christ is not in the tomb. You may know certain religions of the earth. You may have been brought up with certain religious beliefs and backgrounds. Oh, friend, every religion on the face of the earth has a leader that has gone into death. But I want to tell you this afternoon, there's only one person that has ever been able to overcome death. One that's only ever been able to rise from among the dead. That's Christ. You see, you could go to many religions of the earth and find their great leaders, maybe noble men, maybe noble women. I'm not here to judge that. But what I am concerned about is this. You can still go to their tombs. And multitudes this afternoon go to the tombs of their religious leaders to lay their wreaths and to pay homage and give their respects to their deceased leader. I want to tell you this afternoon, friends, as I preach the gospel, my leader is in heaven. My leader is alive. My leader has defeated death. He's the Son of God, the mighty creator of the universe. He's the eternal God himself entering into this scene of earth to deal with the problem of sin, to pass through death and out the other side victorious. He's the Savior you can trust, friend. I was speaking to a man in a shop recently. This man and I were engaged in conversation concerning these things. And he said that he followed a certain person, a certain religion. And I knew something about that, so I was able to talk to him about it. I asked him if he'd ever been to the tomb of his deceased leader. He said he hadn't, but he acknowledged it was there. Well, I just said, sir, I'm very thankful to be able to tell you I can't go to the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't find him there. And I want to tell you, sir, I know who I would rather trust. One who's in the grave and bound under death.
For one who's defeated death and risen out from among the dead ones with mighty power. I trust the living Saviour. How about you? Do you trust him? Have you come to him? Have you acknowledged him as the Son of God? Do you know what it is to find salvation, the forgiveness of your sin in the person of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Here he is now, and the multitudes are following him, and he moves up into the mountain. You may say that's a strange thing to do. What about people that can't get up into the mountain? I want to tell you this afternoon, if you seek Christ, you'll find him. There's not a person that's ever sought Christ on the face of the earth that hasn't found him. The Bible declares, friend, they that seek him shall find him. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open, says the word of God. And again, this afternoon, it tells us in the Old Testament, seek him with your heart and you'll find him. Are you seeking salvation? Are you seeking the Son of God? Are you seeking what it is to be right with God, to be forgiven of your sins? Or is the pathway of life just some jovial business that you get through it? Oh, friend, this afternoon, that you would start to seek God. That you would seek what it is to be right with God. Now the Lord Jesus Christ in an elevated place, it tells me that when he had sat down, did you note that? It said in verse number 1, when he was set, his disciples came to him. Well, I take a lesson from that, and I notice this. He dictates proceedings. And it was only when he had sat down, then these people came to him. I want to tell you, friend, that without God dictating the proceedings, we have no hope. There are many people in this world, and they think they can tell God what to do. I want to tell you, I made that mistake. And for 26 years of my life, I made the mistake of thinking this, imagining this, that I could tell God what to do, that I would dictate the proceedings to God. It would be in my timing. I would tell God when I come to him. I would dictate proceedings to God. I will live my life the way I want to live my life, and I will instruct God of what he will do with me. No, you won't, friend. You can't live your life the way you want to live your life. You must come to God. You can't live your life in jeopardy. God dictates proceedings. And it was when he was set, they came to him. I read a verse in the Bible this. It says, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. What hope would we have if God had not intervened? You and I are lost in sin. You and I are bound in sin. Another verse of the scriptures tells us this, that when we were yet without strength, utterly unable. Tell me this afternoon, can you stem the tide of death? Can you stop death coming to your door? You sit in this gospel meeting this afternoon, and the tragedy is this. You're living a life and you think you can tell God what to do. You think that you can dictate the proceedings with God. Oh, friend, that you would be awakened to your desperate need this afternoon. That you would understand that it's God that dictates the proceedings. And now all things are ready. And he has provided the very way whereby you can be right, where you can come to God for the forgiveness of sins. Will you come? Will you come? Do you want to know what it is to come to the Son of God and receive salvation? Now his disciples are coming to him. Another lesson I learned from this in the scriptures. Christ moved out of heaven. The Son of God moved out of heaven. He came to earth. The very will of God was that he would come to the earth to deal with this great problem and plague of sin, which binds you utterly without strength, subject to death, and death takes you away to be separated from God for all eternity. That's the position you find yourself. Christ moved out of the glorious splendor of the place of heaven. There from his throne he came down to earth, and there wended a pathway to Calvary's cross to lay down his life for you, friend. For you, for you, for you. And now the work has been done. And the invitation is this. We sung it. Christ receiveth sinful man. I say reverently and respectfully this afternoon, Christ now stands in an exalted position, and the instruction is for you to make the move. He's made his move. He came from heaven to earth, the immeasurable distance. Now it's your turn. The scripture says here, he said. Now he's not moving to them anymore. He's moved to the very position he needs to be. Now it's your responsibility to come. Will you come to Christ in this meeting this afternoon? Will you know what it is to come to the very Son of God? He gives you an invitation. Listen to these lovely words found in this same book again. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you'll come to Christ, he'll give you rest from the weary burden of sin and sorrow and sadness. And he'll fit you with eternal life. Wouldn't you come to Christ this afternoon? That's why it goes on to say this. He opened his mouth and talked, saying, he opened his mouth and he talked. Something I received from this too that's instructive to you and I. He declared. Christ is doing the teaching now. This is a time when you need to just sit. This is the time when you and I need to listen. When somebody else is doing the instructing, that's the person of God's Son. We need to sit still now. We need to listen to the very word of God now. And Christ is doing the instructing. He's teaching. And you and I, we receive. We have ears to hear the very voice of the Son of God. Do you this afternoon? Or is the mind whirring 100 miles an hour? And you're thinking of the things that you'll do when this gospel meeting is over. The little voice in the head is answering all the time. The little voice that answers back because you think you know better than God. And as you sit in the seat, the occupation of your mind is going round and round. Oh, I would plead with you in these gospel meetings, sit and listen to the voice of Christ. Listen to the very voice of God. And he says, blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. In these meetings, we'll see how this is in direct contrast to the world. We've seen the Savior, he takes his place. He's dictating proceedings. His teachings are in direct opposition to the world.
And he says that if you're going to come to him, if you're going to follow Christ, you're going to have to be humble. You're going to have to acknowledge your need. You're going to have to be meek. Totally opposite to what the world says. The world says that you need to be proud. You need to assert your rights. No one tells you what to do. You make your own pathway. No, says Christ, if you'll come to me, if you'll follow me, and if you'll be blessed of me, if you'll be a partaker of the kingdom of heaven, if you'll know what it is to receive the multitude blessings of God, you'll have to be humble and mild and meek. May God bless you as you listen to Len preach the gospel. And may you find Christ.